First reading is from Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The gospel reading this morning is taken from John chapter 20, reading from verses 1 through to 18. The first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came. It was still dark when she came to the grave, and she saw that the stone had been rolled away. She ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the grave. We don't know where they have laid him." Peter immediately went to look, and the other disciple, and they came to the grave. They both ran together, but John got there first. He outran Peter, and he came first to the grave. But he stopped at the entrance and stooped down and looked in, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he didn't go in. Simon Peter was following him, and he went straight into the grave, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the napkin that had been wound around the head of Jesus was not lying with the other linen clothes, but it had been folded up, and it was in a place all by itself. Then John went in as well, and he saw and he believed. As yet, they hadn't remembered the scripture that Jesus had to rise again from the dead. The disciples went away again to their own home. Mary stood outside the grave and she wept. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the grave. And she saw two angels in white, and they were sitting there, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. The angel said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she said, "Because they've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around, and Jesus was standing there. But she didn't realize that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She supposed that this must be the gardener. And she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away from here, could you please tell me whereabouts you've put him so that I can come and take him away And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said to her, Don't touch me at this stage, for I haven't yet gone and ascended to be with my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, and to my God and to your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Word. Almighty Father, who in your great mercy made glad Mary Magdalene with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we finally come to this day, Resurrection Sunday, and some of you may breathe a sigh of relief, particularly if you have attended Maundy Thursday and Good Friday services and really felt the agony that Jesus must have felt there on the cross as death came. Because in the Gospel accounts, this agony is spelled out quite clearly. And now, a few days later, at last, the story has a good end. After the suffering of Jesus comes the wonder of the resurrection. However, there's a danger here. We might see the resurrection as the reversal of a defeat, so to say. Some may say that Jesus lost out to the powers that be on the cross, and later on he was redeemed through the resurrection. But that's not quite how the Bible sees it. Rather, the crucifixion and resurrection are seen more closely together. In a sense, the resurrection is the manifestation of the victory on the cross. There on the cross, Jesus took on the forces of death and evil and won against them. And that was confirmed through the resurrection. Now, as we heard in the reading from the letter to the Corinthians, Paul put it like this: Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, he was buried and raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So the dying for our sins goes together with the resurrection. The repeated reference to the scriptures shows that this was not just God somehow responding to events haphazardly, but rather that it was God's plan to overcome evil and sin. All the passion accounts frequently state that these events happened to fulfill the scriptures. Jesus himself said it a few times. Now, in our gospel reading, the writer, John the Evangelist, explains that the disciples who came to see the empty tomb did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. In other words, the crucifixion and the resurrection were not random events, but rather parts of God's initiative in becoming human. Through them, God's plan for humanity became effective. From God's perspective, crucifixion and resurrection belong closely together. The disciples, for them, it was the experience of the risen Jesus that made them to review their understanding of the cross and the death of Jesus. It was only once they experienced the risen Jesus that they understood that both the crucifixion and the resurrection happened according to the scriptures. So in various gospel accounts, we are told that it was the risen Jesus who told the disciples that the Son of Man had to suffer and be raised again according to the scriptures. And so the preaching of the death on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, that became the center of the gospel message. The New Testament letters make that quite clear. There's also a bit of archaeological evidence that supports this focus on the death and resurrection of Jesus in the early church. This is what brought good news and hope, what brought reconciliation between God and humans. Knowledge of the significance of the death and resurrection enabled trust in God through Jesus, and through that, relationship between humans and God. That's why to Paul the resurrection was so essential. He pointed to the witnesses, and that's why he also pointed to the witnesses that had seen the resurrected Jesus. In particular, Paul pointed to Peter and the other apostles. He says the 12. And now that presumably refers to Jesus' close 12 disciples, minus Judas, who had been replaced by Matthias. But in addition to that, Paul points to many more witnesses. He also gives his own experience, but he acknowledges that this was quite different to the experience of others. For they experienced the risen Jesus in the flesh, so to say, but even though he was transformed in a resurrection body. But Paul himself, he experienced Jesus as one abnormally born. Now, there's one strange thing here, because Paul did not mention the women who went to the grave, and in the Gospels, they are the first witnesses. All the Gospels spell out that the empty grave was first seen by some women. Now, possibly Paul wanted to highlight his own interaction with the apostles here. They were the ones to spread the good news throughout the world. Possibly Paul also somehow reflected the prejudice of his time and so saw women as less reliable witnesses. Maybe he didn't want to press home that point that the first people who saw the empty tomb and saw Jesus were the women. Of course, today, the unanimous description of the Gospels that some women first saw the empty tomb makes the accounts even more credible. For who would write that in the Roman world unless it were true? Nobody would have first of all called some women as witnesses unless it really happened. To have women as the first witnesses, no one at the time would make that up. And so the witness of some influential men at that time would have been far more persuasive. That's not what the Gospels recount. So that today we must say that these events are so much less likely to be embellished and therefore closer to the truth. Well, today actually the reference to these women is probably more persuasive than Paul's reference to Peter. Now, if we focus on the woman mentioned here in John's Gospel, it was the experience of the crucified and risen Lord, the understanding what God has done for us in Jesus, that changed the life of Mary Magdalene. She had already known Jesus previously, and he had healed her. But now she knew that what had happened, that changed life for everyone. And that's why she was sent by Jesus to tell the others. Now, in the early church, there also was a focus on the death and resurrection of Jesus through the sacraments. So, by that time it was baptism and communion. For example, baptism in part at least signifies the dying and rising again of the Christian in Christ. And communion remembers the sacrifice of Jesus and its application to us personally, but at the same time it looks forward to our presence with God in the future. And that is based on the hope of resurrection in Jesus Christ. Communion is both remembrance and a foretaste of God's glory. Now, all that emphasis on the crucifixion and resurrection, that contrasts with some less orthodox Christian heresies which were around in the early church. Those pushed the death and resurrection of Jesus to the margins and focused more on some of his teachings. Well, it's questionable whether they were his, but so there's, for example, Gnosticism. It did not really see much purpose in the death and resurrection of Jesus. To the Gnostics, Jesus was the purveyor of divine mysteries that enabled those in the know to escape the malevolent physical restraints and to focus on the heavenly spiritual realm. In Gnosticism, there was no need for the forgiveness of sins, no need for a confrontation with evil, only the escape from evil physical reality by the enlightened few. If we contrast the resurrection faith, it's quite different. It may seem somewhat counterintuitive, but an understanding of the cross and the resurrection actually can keep us grounded. It can give us an honest understanding of the sinfulness of the world and our own sin, and of the corruption of the world, while at the same time underscoring the inherent goodness of creation, which is so precious to God that God would suffer and die for it. It can give us an understanding of human evil, while at the same time making us realize the value of each individual human life. The resurrection can give us hope that while sin and evil still dominate in our world, they have already been defeated and will not have the last word. Even more so, the cross and resurrection give us hope that we ourselves will also experience the resurrection to life, so that death will not have the last word, but we will be transformed to new life, which will be totally different from this life and yet continues with it. And that's what a large part of Paul's letter to the Corinthians is about particularly in its last few chapters, or its last chapter, where Paul stresses that because we have faith in the resurrection of Jesus, that's why we can have hope in the resurrection of the faithful. So the cross and resurrection are central parts of the gospel, the message of hope and life. Now, sometimes those things are a bit difficult to get our head around, particularly in our modern rationalistic world. And they are often even a stumbling block. And yet we can gain so much if we trust God, who loved us so much in Jesus Christ that he died for us and was vindicated by the power of God in the resurrection. So praise be to God.